Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
FMR is not the daily newser. Classic Business is brought to you by 10X, an asset manager that delivers superior returns and an authority on wealth creation. 10X your future. Now it's time to look at our credit rating, because S&P is scheduled to review South Africa's sovereign credit rating at the end of the week. It's generally quite late on a Friday and everyone stays up, or at least all the economics geeks do. And the positive rating outlook certainly means that the agency attaches a 1 in 3 chance of a rating upgrade. So it could be better news than many probably would have expected at this time last year. Could it be that our ratings have bottomed, and that along with the improved medium-term budget, we might be entering a phase of ratings upgrades? Well, to talk about this, I'm joined now by Chris Eddy, Head of Investments at 10X. Chris, great to chat as always, and it's such a fundamental question to get right for investors, given the impact that it could have on company returns and re-ratings in equity markets. But let's start with the big picture firstly. Where do the big three have us rated at the moment?
Good evening, Michael. Yeah, that's right. So as you mentioned, S&P have us on a positive outlook, but in terms of the rating rung, that's at BB-. Fitch is also at BB- with a stable outlook. And Moody's, or the Moody's equivalent, is actually one rung higher at just BB-, and that's with a stable outlook.
So there's still some way to go for us to regain that investment grade rating, but you've got to start somewhere. What drives ratings fundamentally? When the agencies sit and they meet, they do tend to come in for some criticism, but what drives ratings?
Ultimately, and one can almost think about it in quite a simplistic framework if you bring that back to almost one's own personal credit rating, the main drivers are ultimately the amount of debt that one has, as well as the ability to service that debt. So from a South African perspective, the amount of debt is ultimately measured in as debt as a percentage of GDP. And a measure of how much interest payments are crowding out our spending in South Africa is ultimately interest costs as a percentage of revenue. There are other factors that are quite key alongside that, but those are kind of the really fundamentals in terms of sort of a sustainable debt trajectory. So when South Africa lost its last investment grade rating, when Moody's downgraded us to sub-investment grade in March 2020, that actually triggered our exit from the World Government Bond Index.
The WGBI.
That's correct, right, Michael. And I mean, it was probably one of the more telegraphed downgrades, because S&P had already downgraded us a couple of years prior to that. But thinking of that 2020 period, it actually acts as quite a good base against which to assess our progress or deterioration around the amount of debt that was, and then that sort of debt trajectory that was in place at the time we were downgraded. So in 2020, debt to GDP was actually projected to peak at around about 95% of GDP. And as we saw last month at the last medium-term budget policy statement in October, it's now projected to peak at about 72%, which is a material improvement.
Sure, significant improvement that. And who would have thought through COVID that we'd end up a couple of years later talking about a full 23% better projection, if you look at that. Now, what about the consolidation of our SOE debt? Because there's also this question of Eskom and adding that 200 billion back. Is that already factored into this calculation that the ratings agencies are going to be doing?
So those official numbers projected by National Treasury, the 72%, does not include the consolidation of sort of the contingent liabilities, but that's very much already factored into the ratings agencies framework, given sort of the contingent liability that that presents. I mean, ultimately, the material improvement in that debt trajectory has really been underpinned by the improved fiscal picture. And we've previously spoken about the commodity windfall leading to higher government revenues. I mean, effectively of around about 111 billion. And those higher revenues really meant that SA had to borrow about 63 billion less than it had previously planned to, while still supporting additional spending to the tune of about 48 billion along the lines of disaster relief, social wage, compensation of employees. So it's really that rosier fiscal picture that has been presented, which has really underpinned sort of the improved outlook. And we previously discussed some risks, obviously, around that optimistic budget scenario. And earlier today, we saw quite a large scale public sector strike being announced for last week, very much around the unilateral 3% wage increase that was announced, which points to some of the potential risks around reining in spending and keeping that positive fiscal picture.
That must be one of the key risks, that government wage bill. But apart from that, I thought there was a lot of credibility to the numbers presented, particularly around growth. You know, we didn't see any exuberant growth forecasts. And you know, if we exceed on the growth side, that always improves, you know, the debt to GDP ratio will improve if your GDP is improving. So we need to get that denominator going in the right direction. But why are they important? Why are these ratings so important to the fiscus? And then we'll go and talk about why it's so important to the markets. But firstly, why is it so important to SA Inc.?
Ultimately, the level of credit rating, whether it's sub-investment grade or junk, and where it sits on the rungs or whether it's investment grade, has sort of a direct influence in terms of the cost of that debt. And if you think about it, if you have a higher cost of debt, there's kind of a negative feedback loop in terms of how much government spending goes to repaying the interest on that debt versus how much could be spent on service delivery or infrastructure spending to stimulate growth. And vice versa, if there are improved credit ratings, which filter into a lower risk and ultimately would demand a lower cost of debt, that kind of can support this virtuous cycle of the government having to pay less interest on its debt. It has more money in the budget to ultimately spend on stimulating broader growth and social spending to uplift the impoverished. And another way to think about it as well is actually in the South African context, all debt, whether that's corporate debt, even individual debt, is ultimately benchmarked against the South African cost of debt. So if the South African government cost of debt is lowered, you actually have this potential of the cost of debt of corporates and individuals being lowered, which could see a crowding in of investment to further add to that virtuous cycle.
Yeah, because what you also then do is you lower that hurdle rate for the risk-free return. And in that case, companies start looking at projects and saying, well, you know, it now makes sense for us to invest in projects that prior to that wouldn't have cleared that hurdle. And you'd probably go out and either look for growth offshore or maybe go invest in bonds. What do you see happening for the listed, you know, equities in South Africa, if we start to see an improvement and a material improvement in our ratings over time, over the next 2 to 3 years? Because these things also happen, you know, quite slowly. You're not going to jump back to investment grade. But if the trend starts improving, what impact do you see that having on markets where we see very attractive multiples? You know, I could probably put together a portfolio of 26 blue chip companies that are trading around 8.
That's right, Michael. And I mean, actually, I think the point that you raised there around how, and this was the big criticism in 2008 as well, how credit ratings happened kind of post the fact almost. We know that the market's forward looking and kind of quite a simplistic measure of sort of the risk embedded in South African government debt is to look at the spread of the South African 10-year over US treasuries. And that's actually come in quite materially over the last 18 months. And materially lower than where we were in 2020. So one could almost say the market is starting to discount, certainly the bond market is starting to discount the improved fiscal metrics and that outlook that, you know what, from a level or a risk premium demanded over developed markets like the US, demanding a smaller premium means that the market is ultimately implying a slightly lower risk currently than what was previously implied. You mentioned obviously sort of equities, but I think the interesting thing that would surprise many investors, and I think South African government bonds are often considered a secondary investment choice in the South African context. But let's just sketch a scenario around ratings and say, you know what, maybe we don't realize the rosy picture presented by National Treasury, but we don't quite have this massive deterioration back to kind of above 95% of debt to GDP, and we kind of muddle along. You're earning about 10.8% on a 10-year government bond, which if kind of the yield stays where it is over 12 months, you've got an almost 11% return, which is, I think, most people would say they would be quite happy and comfortable with that return in the current environment.
Yeah.
But let's say we go back and the outcomes from the ANC elective conference are quite populist, and we're not able to retain spendings, and our picture actually deteriorates quite a bit. And yields increase by 2%, and they go from about 10.8 to about 13, which is actually above where yields traded at the peak of 2020. Over a 12-month period, you effectively are going to earn a flat return in that environment. So your starting yield that you've got of about 10.8% completely covers your loss in capital from the increase in yields. But let's look at quite a rosy picture where we do have a ratings improvement. Yields drop by about 2% to about 8.8%. The capital return plus the income return will see you earn about 23% on South African government bonds, which is really quite a handsome return in this type of environment. Wow. So it really shows you that, yes, there is some risk available, but that risk is being reflected in terms of the yield that's on offer in the South African government bond market currently.
Beautifully captured. Chris Eddy, Head of Investments at 10X, talking about the looming ratings decision by S&P, but more broadly, some of those scenarios, even in a bumble-along scenario, South African government bonds offering hugely attractive value at this juncture. FMR's Not the Daily News on Classic Business is brought to you by 10X Investments, an asset manager that provides investment solutions that deliver superior returns. 10X your future. Listen to Not the Daily News on FMR's Classic Business next Thursday, just after 20 to 7. 10X, an industry thought leader and expert to 10X your future. Just visit www.10x.co.za.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.